Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, a very frequent and special guest, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. Welcome back to Reaching Out.
Thank you, Greg. It's always a privilege to have a chance to talk to you and engage with your listeners.
Thank you. And every time you come on our show, we get more and more informed. So I really want to thank you for coming on Reaching Out once again.
Thank you.
Now, the first question we would like to ask you, because, let's see, in May, New York State launched a $175 million workforce development initiative. How does this program work to ensure New Yorkers are trained for good-paying jobs and New York is meeting business workforce needs? Tell us about this program.
I'm really happy to have a chance to talk to you about this because we are on the verge of launching a week to talk about this. And what we're going to be discussing with people all over the state is the ability for people, organizations, unions, colleges, anyone involved in the whole idea of training workers for the jobs of today and for tomorrow. We now have money on the table to support that. A lot of people talk about workforce development and what it may mean, but we now have $175 million that the governor sought and I recommended. The legislators all voted for, so the money's now available. But what it's going to do is take us to the next level and allow New Yorkers to have the benefit of the most highly rated, state-of-the-art skills training programs. And at the end of the day, it helps them get a better job, and it helps our employers, it helps the economy.
So let's take it from the first step, because some people are hearing this for the first time. I want to be retrained, I want to get a better job, I want to go through your program. How would I do that?
Well, we are looking to support a whole variety of different ways, whether it's technology skills, where someone may be able to get assistance going for a certification or an extra course at a community college. So SUNY and CUNY are very involved in this with us. If someone's looking to get involved in the building trades, you know, what can we be doing to help support our brothers and sisters in labor who are providing these programs, but maybe they don't have the ability to have a large enough training facility, or they don't have the operating money. There's countless ways depending on the industry, but our focus is to make sure that no individual in New York State is left behind. And you think about particular fields where women are very underrepresented. Only 9% of construction workers in America today are women. Those are good paying jobs where people work with their hands, mostly outdoors. You have a chance to build, like we see here in New York City, unprecedented building. But where are the women? So I want more programs that focus on women, underserved communities, communities of color, where individuals may not have had a father or an uncle tell them how to get into the union shop, but now they know there's an avenue for them. And also people who've been incarcerated. You think about the fact that so many individuals, you know, they made a wrong decision, you know, they pay their debt to society, they're now out, but they have that mark on their record. So let's allow people, regardless of age, it doesn't have to be necessarily a young worker, someone who has different skills or doesn't have skills, to be able to get this kind of training. So there's no one answer to your question,
okay. Because
we are going to be addressing this from countless ways here in New York City, all across the state.
Okay, so let's go from the other angle. I'm a business, and I want to provide opportunity to, I would say, unskilled labor and make them skilled labor. How would I apply for the program so I could get training monies or have a training program?
Well, we have something called the Consolidated Funding Application, which is easy to figure out if you go to our state website under Empire State Development. I've spoken before about our regional economic development councils. Most people don't know what that is, and that's okay. But what that is the mechanism for the delivery of economic development dollars from the state to communities, to businesses, and to individuals in need. So that is the process we are undertaking right now. That money, $175 million, is actually being given out for the first time next week. And I'll be out there making announcements all over. So businesses who are interested can find out neighboring programs if they want to put together their own program, or maybe you could create a consortium with other similarly situated businesses and put together top-notch training based on skills that are going to be important for the jobs of tomorrow. That's an application that we'd love to see. So we want people to go online, look it up, ask a lot of questions, but we're looking to support either successful existing programs, and there are many. In fact, I'll be leaving here, and this very soon I'll be at something called the Opportunities for Women, New Opportunities Work for Women, and that's a very successful program where I've met a woman who learned how to become an electrician through this, and she had been in the line getting public assistance, and she read a sign, and she came and got those skills, and now she's a card-carrying member of the Electrical Workers Union, very proud of it. So those are the successful programs we'll continue to fund, but if there's a new idea there that a business owner knows about and has a need to be addressed, we want to work with them directly, because we all benefit when everyone has a shot at the American dream through having the right skills to be hired by a good company.
Wow. What is the website that people could go and research this?
Empire State Development.
EmpireStateDevelopment.gov.
ESD, yes.
ESD, okay. Thank you for that. As the chair of statewide regional economic development councils that you just mentioned, how are the REDCs playing a role in local economic development and workforce development?
These are the mechanisms that the governor established for the first time ever. First time ever we have decisions being made by members of the labor community, elected officials, people from academia, colleges, and businesses, and elected officials all together at the same table considering applications that come through them for funding. And through this process, we've allocated over $6 billion, 7,000 projects, and it's been wildly successful. So through this process, they'll be the ones overseeing the applications that come in their geographic region. There is one REDC, Regional Council for New York City. There's another one for Long Island. There are eight others upstate New York based on geography. And the process is they will evaluate these applications, work with our other state agencies, and then will be very soon. It's not a long process. It will not take that long to get through and get the approvals so we can get that money flowing. That's what's so important, that this is money that you don't have to wait years for. It's sitting on the table, and we want people to know about this and bring us your creative ideas, and we'll look at it. And if it's meritorious and it'll serve a lot of people and serve our overall objectives of increasing the economic pie for more people and helping our employers, it's likely to get funded.
Well, I have two questions about this. One, what projects have been done in the past? And two, how would you determine what would count for a project that you can fund?
Well, this is brand new funding money, but there's programs like various programs like this program I announced for women, the women program, and that is one where they came and have some state funding, some private funding, some money from the city of New York, and they put together a proposal to us to say how they could expand. I mean, a program may be in existence, but maybe they can only serve 20 people now. They come to us and they show us that they're working with labor, and members of a union are coming in and training people and teaching them skills, and then they get them out in the work site so they can be an apprentice. We'll make it so they can ramp it up. And that's what we want to do first. I think those are the easiest ones where there's already success, but because of their limited resources, they can't take it any higher and get more people involved. And we can help them do that.
Okay. And how would they access this? They would go to the website
and
apply?
And again, there'll be much more information about this. We announced it before, but we're finding that people still aren't familiar with it. So programs like yours help us open people's eyes to find out the possibilities. And also just at a higher level, talk about the priorities of our administration, which is something I live and die by, because I really believe in workforce development as the opportunity for a whole new beginning for people. And I say this with experience from growing up in Buffalo at a time when the steel plant where my grandfather and my father and uncles had all worked, that Bethlehem steel plant up and left one day back in 1982 and left 20,000 people without a job. And the problem was that many of those people were middle-aged. They had no other usable skills. They've been used to working on an assembly line. And those are the ones that we have to capture, whether they're in that situation today or to prevent that from happening. Making sure that people know more technology skills and coding, things that seem very foreign to most people. But in reality, that's the new language of the jobs for tomorrow. Even to work in advanced manufacturing, you need to know how to code a computer to program the machines to do the work. And I don't want anyone in New York State to be left out of the jobs of the 21st century economy, because it's a whole new innovation economy. Even to program a machine, you need to have some training, and we want to make sure that happens for everyone.
Wow, that's great. And I was just listening to you, and it's a scary thought. One company leaves and 20,000 people are unemployed.
It was devastating, and Buffalo took 3 decades to rebound from that. And we're only starting. Governor Cuomo and I were together in Buffalo a few days ago. And the investments that the state is making to try and bring it back, they're working, that's successful. And all over New York State, we're seeing more individuals, younger ones, staying here or moving from other states to New York, something that never happened. When I was growing up in Lackawanna and Buffalo, hard hit Rust Belt area, our greatest export was our young people. Everybody we knew, including my own siblings, left town in search of better jobs. And we learned from those mistakes. And that's why investing in workforce development, working with businesses to ask them this key question: don't tell me the skills you need today. Tell me the skills that you are going to need in your workforce tomorrow. And we'll start training them. I'll work with the community colleges. I'll make sure that we have apprenticeship programs. We'll fund them. But I don't want to be training people for an economy where the jobs are going to be obsolete or replaced by automation in our lifetime. That doesn't make sense. Let's get people ready for the jobs of tomorrow.
I remember Rochester was known for having Kodak. And then, of course, Kodak with the film and film. Now everything's digital. And the cameras, and I believe Kodak left Rochester.
Kodak left and took 60,000 jobs.
60,000 jobs.
So there's still a Kodak Eastman Business Park, and I'm so happy to report that many of those jobs have now been replaced by smaller tech or innovation firms. We'll never get the scale of 60,000 people working on one site, and that was a real blow to the economy. You had Buffalo hit hard, you had Rochester, Syracuse lost a lot of jobs when GE downsized. It happened everywhere. But we learned you can't just complain about it. You have to imagine new future quickly. And these regional economic development councils, these are the people who live in these communities. They're on the ground. And they're saying these are the clusters of industries that we're going to focus on. For example, you mentioned Eastman Kodak. Yes, there's a legacy of individuals who understand innovation and photonics. So that's a natural place. Photonics and imaging is a place we're investing money, because that was really the bread and butter of that economy. Not manufacturing cameras anymore, but photonics and imaging and state-of-the-art technology. So we're trying to build on those legacy industries, but take them to the next level.
Wow. I mean, I'm learning a lot, remembering a lot also. You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237. Today we have with us the New York State Lieutenant Governor, Kathy Hochul, a frequent visitor and guest on Reaching Out. You are also planning to kick off a Workforce Development Awareness Week this month. This month meaning October?
No, September. Meaning now.
meaning now in September. Tell us about that and what it would include.
Well, I'm going to launch it first starting in New York City. And that'll be on Monday. And we're going to be involving businesses and people from academia and talk about programming and our ideas. But basically, we're looking for publicity to get the word out. So whether it's an academic institution, someone in the labor community, someone who's in the not-for-profits, maybe clergy, all the businesses, all the different entities that have a concern about making sure people are trained, I want them to know about it. I want them to know how simple this is going to be. And I'm going to take that message to Buffalo the next day. We had talked about Buffalo a little bit, but we just invested $100 million in a facility in the toughest neighborhood in Buffalo, one of the lowest performing zip codes in terms of the future for its young people and outcomes in schools. It was a tough neighborhood. And now we have opportunity right there without even having to take a bus. People can walk to these opportunities to get trained in construction jobs and the building trades. So I'll be going then on to Rochester and Syracuse and all across upstate to just to get the word out. But it's an opportunity, and no other state is taking the lead the way we are here in New York, investing this much money in our people and in their future.
This program will air September 21st on both The Answer and The Mission. I'm sure there'll be business persons and clergy listening to this program on the 21st, which is Saturday, which is the Saturday before the Monday of your event.
That's right.
If anyone's in New York City, could they come to your event?
We'll make sure the information gets put out on our website, so the details are there. Absolutely.
Okay. You want to let anybody know now?
No, we keep that embargoed until we all the details are worked out.
Okay. So you could go on the website as of Saturday.
Yeah, probably Saturday or Sunday.
And tell them where they could look for the information.
Go to the Lieutenant Governor's website.
Lieutenant Governor's website. Mm-hmm. New York State Lieutenant Governor's website. The information will be there for those who are listening to the program on Saturday, September 21st, and want to be at the event on Monday. That Monday, which would be the 23rd.
Of
September.
23rd.
Very good. So we're breaking some news here. So who do you have special guests at this event, or can we talk about that event, or it's going to be a surprise?
It's going to be a surprise.
I love surprises.
You should come and know. We'll make sure everyone knows you're there.
Okay. It's going to be a surprise. Okay. How are the New York State workforce development efforts advancing New York's green economy and ensuring the 21st century economy?
You know, this is something we want to do for the economy. But first of all, let's just do it for the planet. I mean, we are living in very tumultuous times. And, you know, you look at any poll now, and what is the greatest insecurity of our younger generation? And they're very fearful that the damage to our environment and to Mother Earth will be so far-reaching that they will have a very different future for their children. And I'm concerned about this. So we have launched very ambitious energy initiatives here in the state of New York. But in addition to being a strategy to protect our planet, it's also a great opportunity for new jobs. But people instinctively are not trained in knowing how to work on wind turbines or to work in on solar panel fabrication or the other countless ways that we can create clean energy jobs. So this is exactly what I'm talking about, training people in jobs that we know are going to be there because the state plans to invest in these. We know those jobs are coming. We're at the very beginning, but we believe that there'll be, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of jobs eventually in the clean energy space. So let's start getting people thinking about a different future. Let's get them into a classroom or a training facility. Let's get them the skills. Let the employers know that here in New York State, you can have access to the most highly educated, highly trained, highly skilled workforce known to man. And if there's a company that's thinking of setting up shop in another state, and we can promise them this caliber of workforce to choose from, I believe they'll make the decision to come to New York, or if they want to expand, stay in New York.
Wow, we've gone through everything on economic development. It seems like there's a comprehensive, well-thought-out plan on training, creating jobs, creating sustainable jobs for the future. I would say clean energy jobs. This is a whole comprehensive program. I commend you and your administration for this idea.
Thank you. Looking forward to rolling it out and changing people's lives right from the get-go. That's what it's all about.
So you've been pretty busy. So I understand there's a tremendous auto strike happening in Detroit.
Yes.
And I believe you went to march. You were involved in that?
Well, I marched at the General Motors plant in Buffalo, New York.
In Buffalo, okay.
And they also have a facility in Lockport, over 3,000 jobs. So again, Buffalo is known as a core of manufacturing, and these aren't as many jobs as there used to be, but there's still, that's 3,000 good-paying middle-class jobs in an area that's had historically been depressed. So I wanted to go out there yesterday and the day before and stand with these men and women who are simply saying that when the economy collapsed in 2008, 2009, and we were on the verge of losing our automotive industry. GM was in the financial straits, ready to pull the plug. U.S. government taxpayers bailed them out. Congress, under leadership of Nancy Pelosi, worked with President Obama to structure a bailout for them. So we supported them financially in their toughest times, and the unions took many concessions in their health benefits and their paychecks. So fast forward 10 years later, they're making record profits. Their CEO is making a very large salary, and the workers are saying, now that we all suffer together and the good times are back, why can't we share in that prosperity? Can't you give us back to what we were making 10 years ago before we made these concessions? And I marched there with members of the Teamsters Union and other unions who stand together, who say that this is how we built the middle class in America, with these good union jobs. And New York State is the most unionized state in America. And doesn't matter party affiliation. There are many Republicans, many Democrats. Doesn't matter. Yes. I mean, these are just people happy to have a good job. And they don't want to be disrespected by their employer because they feel like they've been taken advantage of. And I hope that this strike ends soon. I hope that GM will realize the true value of these hardworking men and women, pay them their just reward, and recognize, you know what, we did take a lot from the taxpayers, and they saved us. And at this time now, we need to stand with people and say, we have your backs.
Yes, the employees came to the table in 2008, and as you stated, they made concessions.
They made a lot of concessions.
And GM was able to get back on its footing, and it was only seemed right that they would give the employees something back.
Yeah. Something back, and in addition to getting that taxpayer ballot, they also benefited from a very large tax cut in the last year. Again, this money was supposed to go back. You know, the premise behind a big tax cut was goes to the companies, but then they can pay their workers more, not less. And not to just make, fatten your own coffers, but to share it with your employees. So think about it. The employees have a bigger paycheck or back to what they used to have. They're able to help buy clothes and make their mortgage payments, make a car payment, pay for their kids' education. This money gets recycled back into our economy. So all of us should want to make sure that these people are treated fairly because it's the right thing to do. But secondly, it's good for the overall economy to have that money spent in our little businesses, all over our communities.
I remember growing up hearing about Henry Ford, and he made a statement, I want to pay my workers enough money so that they could buy cars.
And he was smart.
Great concept. Right. So they could afford to buy cars.
And GM today should want to do the same thing and help pay for their cars, their kids' education, everything else, because these workers have sacrificed for them. They took it on the chin during this time when there were a lot of layoffs, concessions, and now why can't they share in the prosperity?
That's right. Now, we have about 2.5 minutes left. Is there a subject that we didn't cover that you would like to cover?
I would like to talk about how child care plays an important role in empowering women to be able to take their full role in society and in the workplace. And this is something else through the Regional Economic Development Councils, as chair of those, I challenge them to evaluate proposals that come in for funding from businesses. While you have individuals looking for government assistance to say to the CEOs or the presidents or the owners, tell us about your child care options, particularly that would benefit women. And do you have flexible hours? Do you have an on-site child care? Do you have an extra money in the paycheck to help cover this? Because what we're finding is that New York State and the entire country, but I'm focused on New York, does not have the full benefit of women in the workforce as long as there's children at home who need to be taken care of. It primarily rests on women, and this is why you see fewer women be able to rise up, whether it's in the corporate world or to rise up at a construction site or wherever they want to work, because the weight of the child care responsibilities disproportionately fall on them. So I want this to be viewed as an economic development challenge, not just your own family's problem, but New York State will prosper even more if every woman who wants to work has the ability to not worry about her children, has the money to cover it, because right now the cost of child care in this state is $28,000 a year to have two children watched. Now, if you're making minimum wage or making $30,000 yourself, it doesn't add up.
Right.
So we have to make sure there's more accessible, affordable, quality child care in the state of New York, and that will take us to a whole new level.
Wow. That says a lot. And thank you for your leadership. Thank you for once again coming on Reaching Out.
All right.
You're always welcome to come back and talk about anything you want to talk about.
It's a great pleasure to see you again and connect with your listeners.
Thank you,
Greg.
You've been listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. Our very special guest once again was New York State Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul.
Thanks for listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join us each and every Saturday night at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.